Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Yellow Dogs. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. So what happens if we're not jolly? Well, expect it. Because 'tis the season where we're going to have the whole range of emotions. And that's okay. It's a perfect time to practice because we're not going to get our way and we're not going to like everything, but there's going to be a lot of fun times and happy times and joyous times. So,
people can't hear you for some reason. Is that because you've been muted the whole time? Yes. That's my fault.
Oh, that's okay.
They didn't hear one thing.
That's okay.
Begin again.
Okay, I'm going to begin again. Good evening. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Yellow Dogs. As I was saying, 'tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. 'Tis the season for all of it. We know there's going to be a wide range of emotions that we are going to have an opportunity to not only notice, but to work with. So enjoy yourself. We're going to talk about joy and versus happiness tonight. And they're both beautiful. So remember, we're talking, putting all of this under the Buddha Dharma, so your rational mind may not be able to understand it, but your whole body awareness is going to hear it. And that's what we find out in practicing and hearing the Buddha Dharma, is that we might not have directly experienced some of these things, but if they happen to come our way, then we've heard them. So they're easier to recognize. And we want to recognize everything that the Buddha has pointed us to, because it's in our best interest. Okay, so the rational mind may not grok Buddha Dharma because it's not always, of course, rational. But just listen and let it soak in to the whole body. And let's see. Let's see what happens. All right, let's talk about happiness first under the umbrella of the Buddha Dharma. Happiness is in time. It arises and falls away. It comes and goes throughout the day and throughout our lives. And it can happen mostly when things are going our way. There's this happiness, and it's constructed by the mind, and we are to know it, recognize it, allow it, and understand it, investigate this type of happiness. So the type of happiness I'm talking about is my consumerism, because it sparks the emotion of happiness when the UPS or anybody else drives up. I mean, you know, I try not to be so ecstatic about it, but sometimes I can't help myself. So it's that emotional happiness that's in time that we all experience, and it's okay. We don't want to get any kind of idea in our head that something's wrong with happiness. Mm-hmm. But we want to look at that kind of happiness. We want to know its true nature. And so that's why we're talking about it. But joy is found only in the present moment. Joy is found only in the present moment when we are looking at happiness versus joy. And both of them occur for us when we're on this planet. And when we say, I enjoy doing this or that, there is a misperception, because it makes it appear that the joy comes from what we do. But that's not the case. But the happiness does, I notice. So joy does not come from what we do. It flows into what you do and thus into this world from deep, deep within us. And that joy, that connection, affects all of us. It's not just about our joy. So the misperception that joy comes from what you do is normal. But it's something that should be looked at, because it creates the belief that joy is something that can be derived from something else. Mm-hmm. All the other things in our life, such as an activity or a thing. So joy, reflect on joy, looking at a sunset or a sunrise, and boy, have we had them lately, takes us into all of it. It takes you into the present moment. And that sense of joy is evident. Or looking into the face of your grandchild or child, that connection where you're just overjoyed and you feel it from head to toe, and it's a whole body sensation. So we look to the world to bring us both joy and happiness. But that's not always always happens. But this is why many of us live in frustrations, because we don't understand that all of it is a gift. It's just that we don't appreciate all the gifts. They're all ones. I'm not going to say this because it's going to blow your rational mind, but I'm going to say it anyway. Nothing is more important than anything else when you're talking about the present moment, because present moment living puts us all where we are real, where we touch that universal connectedness. So what is the relationship between something that you do and the state of joy? Well, that's what we want to look at. Then we will enjoy any activity in which we are fully present. Any activity that is not just a means to end. We know that. We know this joy. We've had it all through our lives. We just hadn't identified it or talked about it like we have tonight. And not that it needs to be talked about in order to experience. It isn't the action we perform that we really enjoy, but the deep sense of aliveness that flows into whatever we are doing. Let me say that again, because that's huge. It's the deep sense of aliveness that flows into whatever we are doing. That aliveness is one with who we really are. And this means that when we enjoy doing something, we are really experiencing the joy of being in its dynamic aspect. That's why anything we enjoy doing connects us with the power behind all creation. And so I grew up with this knowledge because it was one of the very first books I read, and it was Carlos Castaneda's book, A Yaqui Way of Knowing. And that's where that phrase came from. Nothing's more important than anything else. And it has stuck with me for years and years and years. Didn't quite understand it, still just working with it. But this wonderful phrase has stayed with me for years, as long as I can remember. But I've always asked myself, how could that be? How could that be? And so recently, I started bringing that teachings into my mundane, everyday activities. I would ask myself, is this any more important than anything else? Brushing my teeth, cooking, washing the dishes, doing all the daily activities that I just automatically do without much presence. So I started doing it. You know, it's been a while since I'm doing it. And then all of a sudden, a shift occurred. Not all the time, but I experienced the shift of, I mean, I'm not saying that it's pure joy, but what I have found is there is less stress, less pushing away from it. So, and I'm thinking that that's the beginning. But if it's true that joy is only found in the present moment, then that's just another thing, another thing that we can see for ourselves. So I'll let you know how it's going. And I'm not saying that it happens all the time, but I've set that intention. And especially after reading, you know, that or reminding myself that joy is found in any present moment living. That's why maybe people like the Dalai Lama and people that we see are childlike, because we know children, they're just being very joyful. Even when we don't want them to be, they're joyful because of the fact that, why? Well, they know who they are. They come with that knowledge, and slowly but surely the world does its thing in order for us to wake up. So taking my pills at night has less of a story. Why am I having to take these pills? Okay, I'm an old lady. That's why I'm taking these pills. Okay, but I don't want to take these pills, you know. So, you know, you get in a dialogue, or I get in a dialogue, or, you know, brushing my teeth. You know, how many times do we brush our teeth? And I'm saying to myself that I don't even know I've done it until it's over. So it's the daily activities that can put us to sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. We can find joy in everything that we train ourselves to become present with all of life. And so, I don't know if it's true or not, but it just hit home when I decided to do this little practice. And these are the kind of little practices, you know, the tools that we talk about that you can pick and choose from and work with for a day, for a week, for a while, because that right effort enables us to directly experience the truth of it. It's not just in the mind. It's not just cognitive. It becomes experiential. And that's only where the truth is found, is within the experience. So we compartmentalize. My mind stays with the like or the don't like. Usually we stay with the don't like more than we do the like. But again, since it's brought to our attention, we can begin to see that. Because we don't want to miss the happiness that life brings us. And life does bring us happiness. And it's not just from UPS. There's other happiness in this life, as you well know. So, but liking, and this is real clear, because I don't want you to get confused, because remember, liking and not liking is in our DNA. Anything that we perceive through our six senses, immediately, faster than fast, we're going to like or dislike. And so that's nature. So we can't, you know, nature is what we're all about. But it's what we do with the like or the dislike that causes us the suffering. And you can reflect on your own about where we go with these don't likes. And we can cling to these likes as well. So, actually complaining about a process sometimes, when I'm complaining about taking the pills that leave a bad taste in my mouth, then actually I'm complaining about a process that's even in my best interest. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't feel right. You know, I should be that gratefulness for having that wisdom to support my aging, I can bow to. So hang out with it. See what it does for you. Nothing's more important than anything else. Can we bring present moment into it all? And and of course, when we are opening ourselves to the happiness and to the joy, there's less resistance. Well, what's happening is we are in the present moment and getting the full benefit of each moment of our lives. So why not point ourselves to more joy? Find the joy in the little things. Find the joy in the big things too. But for me, that is a big step for me. I'm trying to train myself to add more presence in my daily work, in my daily life. So I want to read something that I've got to find it on my iPad from the book. No, not that book. Hit the wrong one. A Path with Heart. And this is Jack. He says, there is a specific teaching in the Buddhist tradition that can help us understand how the compartmentalization and separation that operates in us is repeated in spiritual life. It is called the near enemies. The near enemies are qualities that arise in the mind and masquerade as genuine spiritual realization, which in fact, they are only an imitation. serving to separate us from true feeling rather than connecting us to it. So these near enemies are important. So let's see. The near enemy of loving kindness is
attachment.
He knows all this. Okay, the near enemy of compassion is
pity.
See what a good mind can do for you.
Didn't hear what he's saying, so they couldn't.
Oh, I am so sorry. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm pointing at my friend over here, and I'll tell you what he's saying. The near enemy of loving kindness is attachment. Oh, but I love you if you will do these 15 different things for me all the time. You know that. And then the near enemy of compassion is pity. And this also separates us. Pity feels sorry for that poor person over there. That poor, poor person.
It sets us up as the...
as if he were somewhat different from us. See it? See the trap? The near enemy of sympathetic joy is the joy in the happiness of others. Think of all the happiness and joy we can add to our lives when we look around and we can actually share other people's happiness and joy.
What's the near enemy?
All right, the near enemy is comparison. He didn't know that. Comparison.
What was that, the near enemy
of? Of sympathetic joy.
Okay.
We're always comparing ourselves. If only I, you know. And we do that a lot. That's just a strong conditioning that comes from living where we live. So the near enemy of equanimity is indifference. And boy, I sure see that in my life. Indifference. Equanimity. Oh, well, you know, it's all one, you know. It's all one. So each of these near enemies can masquerade as a spiritual quality. But when we call our indifference spiritual or respond to pain with pity, we only justify our separation and make spirituality a defense. This is reinforced by our culture, which often teaches us that we can become strong and independent by denying our feelings, using ideas and a strength of mind to create safety for ourselves. And so with that, I will stop and we'll open it up to you. And thank you. It's been my joy.
Steve Holly wants to start.
Wait.
Okay. Anita?
Yes.
It's Lane. Thank you for those words tonight. It reminded me of a valuable teaching very much in sync that I heard some years ago from a teacher that I've worked with.